What if stress isn't the enemy we've been taught to fear? Consider this. Every racing heartbeat, every tense muscle, every sleepless night might not be a malfunction, but a message. For decades, we've waged war against stress, armed with meditation apps and self-care routines, yet we feel more overwhelmed than ever. The truth is far more nuanced and hopeful than the wellness industry wants us to believe. Stress isn't a toxin to be purged from our lives. It's a fundamental feature of being human, woven into our DNA by millions of years of evolution. The real crisis isn't that we experience stress, it's that we've forgotten how to dance with it. When we understand stress as information rather than injury, everything changes. Our cells tell stories about how we live, and remarkably, we have the power to edit those stories daily. Uncertainty is the invisible weight we carry everywhere. Our ancestors, who relaxed around unpredictability, didn't survive long. So our brains evolved to find unpredictable threats more stressful than consistently negative ones. Laboratory studies showed people receiving random electric shocks had higher stress activation than those shocked predictably. The unknown terrifies us more than the known bad. This explains why pandemic anxiety felt so crushing, not just the virus itself, but the relentless not knowing. Yet some people navigated the chaos with surprising grace through uncertainty tolerance. Consider Brian, drafted into the Soviet Army and sent to an Arctic base with temperatures 50 below zero. Initially crushed by circumstances beyond his control, he experienced a profound shift when he stopped mentally fighting his reality. The weight didn't disappear, but it stopped crushing him. He discovered what Buddhism calls avoiding the second arrow, the unnecessary suffering we create by resisting what already is. We can't control the first arrow life shoots at us, but we absolutely control whether we shoot ourselves with a second one. Control feels like safety, and people with high perceived control tend to be healthier and more resilient. But control has a dark side. Studies of baboon hierarchies reveal this perfectly. Dominant males enjoy better health until the hierarchy destabilizes. Former alphas who keep trying to control their now uncontrollable environment develop more cardiovascular disease than subordinates who never had control. The struggle itself becomes the poison. We waste staggering energy trying to control the uncontrollable. Other people's opinions, global events, even our own thoughts. Every yes to something unimportant is a no to something meaningful. Facing terminal illness, people rarely regret missing meetings. They regret not spending time with loved ones, not pursuing meaningful work, not saying what mattered. For what we cannot change, radical acceptance offers liberation. This doesn't mean resignation. It means acknowledging reality so we can respond skillfully rather than fight what already is. Like a swimmer caught in a riptide, fighting the current exhausts us. Swimming parallel to shore saves our life. A lion chasing a gazelle experiences identical physiological activation, racing heart, surging adrenaline, heightened alertness, yet their experiences differ completely. The gazelle feels terror, blood vessels constricting, resources diverted toward escape. The lion feels energized focus, blood pumping efficiently, senses sharpened. Same biology, different experience. The difference? Perception. We're capable of both responses. A threat mindset produces harmful stress, constricted vessels, impaired cognition, inflammation. A challenge mindset produces beneficial stress, increased cardiac output, efficient energy mobilization, enhanced performance. Same biology, different experience. The difference? Perception. We're capable of both responses. A threat mindset produces harmful stress, constricted vessels, impaired cognition, inflammation. A challenge mindset produces beneficial stress, increased cardiac output, efficient energy mobilization, enhanced performance. Simply reframing your interpretation changes your physiology within seconds. Telling yourself, "I'm excited," instead of "I'm anxious" before a presentation shifts your stress response from harmful to helpful. This isn't positive thinking, it's neuroscience. People who view stress as enhancing rather than debilitating perform better and show healthier physiological profiles. When we understand that nervousness and excitement produce identical sensations, we reclaim the power to choose our interpretation. The stress doesn't disappear, but transforms from crushing weight to propelling force. A former Secret Service agent who earned a Medal of Valor on 9/11 takes cold showers by choice, not for enjoyment, but because deliberately facing manageable discomfort builds resilience. This is hormetic stress, brief, intense challenges that strengthen rather than deplete us. Unlike chronic stress that ages cells, hormetic stress triggers cellular cleanup and rejuvenation, a controlled dose of difficulty that inoculates you against future hardship. Your body craves intense activation followed by deep recovery. High-intensity interval training, cold exposure, and sauna sessions create this beneficial cycle. When you push hard briefly, then recover, your cells activate cleanup crews that devour metabolic waste, your cardiovascular system strengthens, and your stress response becomes more efficient. Research shows fit people respond to stressors with less anxiety and lower heart rates. Remarkably, previously inactive people show these benefits after just 8 weeks of training. The modern obsession with comfort might be slowly weakening us. We climate control every environment and avoid physical strain, then wonder why we feel fragile. The solution isn't returning to prehistoric hardship, but strategically reintroducing manageable stress. 10 minutes of heart-pounding intervals, 2 minutes under cold water. These brief discomforts create resilience that extends beyond the physical, teaching your nervous system that you can handle hard things and recover. We've become trapped in boxes, homes, cars, offices, screens, and our nervous systems are suffocating. During lockdowns, people instinctively fled to parks, discovering what indigenous cultures never forgot. Nature isn't recreation, it's medicine. Those who spent time in blue-green spaces showed dramatically better mental health, with measurable improvements in cortisol, blood pressure, and inflammation. Cities create an urbanicity effect, with higher depression rates and exaggerated stress responses. In New Zealand, doctors write green prescriptions, recommending specific weekly nature doses. People living near greenery have longer telomeres, the protective caps on chromosomes indicating biological age. Trees from your window, nearby parks, even balcony plants all contribute measurably to well-being. Nature works through calming visual patterns, soothing sounds, beneficial plant compounds, and negative ions near water. Most powerfully, nature induces awe, that feeling of encountering something vast that puts problems in perspective. Awe produces immediate benefits: better heart rate variability, lower blood pressure, reduced stress hormones. In nature, time moves in seasons and centuries rather than deadlines and notifications, recalibrating dysregulated nervous systems. We've forgotten how to truly rest. Watching TV, scrolling phones, or drinking wine isn't restoration. Our nervous systems remain activated. Real rest requires physical seclusion, genuine safety, minimal stimulation, and receptive awareness. This triggers growth hormone increases, hormone optimization, and tissue regeneration. Rest has become a social justice issue. Black, Latinx, and Asian Americans experience shorter, worse quality sleep due to systemic inequities. Trisha Hersey's NAP Ministry declares, "Rest is resistance. When exhausted, we accept conditions we'd otherwise resist." Breathing offers the fastest path to deep rest. Most of us breathe incorrectly, too fast, too shallow, through our mouths, creating a stress feedback loop. The solution: slow to 6 breaths per minute, breathe through your nose, emphasize long exhalations. This resonant breathing increases heart rate variability and signals safety. Within minutes, your physiology shifts from fight or flight to rest and digest. The most radical act: befriend stress rather than fight it. Your racing heart prepares you. Your uncertainty proves you care. Your need for rest is biological wisdom. The prescription isn't eliminating stress, but transforming your relationship with it through acceptance, reframing, strategic challenge, nature immersion, and genuine rest. Take one cold shower. Spend 10 minutes under trees. Practice 6 breaths per minute before bed. These aren't small acts. They're cellular interventions, rewriting the story your body tells about safety, capacity, and resilience.